Tales of Civilization. Presented by Dr. Norvi Dumaria. There are few great physicians whose value has been esteemed as that of Galen. He has only been rivaled by Aristotle and excelled by Hippocrates, the greatest of all physicians. And during the Middle Ages, Galen's writings acquired a canonical status. He was born in the year Anno Domini 129 at Pergamum, where he studied the arts. Later, at the age of 20, he journeyed to Smyrna to study under Pelops and other great physicians. Thence he went to Greece and to Corinth, and finally to the famous university at Alexandria. Later, having completed his studies, he returned to Pergamum, where we find him with Nison, his friend, watching the great annual gladiatorial show where Flavius and Marcus, the mighty gladiators, are to engage in mortal combat.
It is many years since I have seen the gladiators in action, Nison.
Yes, Galen. Well, your moves have been occupied with profound studies of medicine and surgery. You've had little time for play.
Now I hope to put my knowledge to practical use. As I look around me, I see many in sore need of a physician. Take that fat one over there. He will die of heart disease before many moons have set, but he is unaware of his malady, and is also unaware that the excitement and thrill of these combats might extinguish the flame of his life as quickly as a torchbearer extinguishes the flame he bears in a vessel of water.
Oh, this is interesting. Tell me, Galen, more of these secrets that lie hidden in the bodies of our friends. That man there, for instance, what is his particular misery?
Oh, there you see a man at the mercy of an invisible enemy. An enemy not unlike an octopus, whose long tentacles stretch all over his body, touching his vitals in their remorseless grip.
Why doesn't he get rid of this unwelcome inhabitant?
He doesn't know such a horror exists. All he knows is that he suffers agony at times, and that his strength is fast failing him. Possibly, in his ignorance, he puts it down to a visitation from the gods for youthful neglect of them.
And how do you know these men suffer from these maladies?
By outward and visible signs, which years of study have taught me to observe. Just as I have observed certain signs of grave excesses upon your handsome face, my good Nison. Be warned of the fate of the followers of Venus and Bacchus, my friend.
And your fee for such impertinence, friend Galen?
My professional advice to you, good Nison, is greatest.
Oh, thank you, most profound follower of Hippocrates. But it is indeed good advice you give me.
I'll see that you heed it then. Ah, at last, the master of ceremonies has entered the arena.
And here comes Marcus and Flavius. Now we shall see a mighty battle.
Ah, there goes the signal to commence. And Flavius rushes into attack. But Marcus neatly parries the smashing blow. Now they are fighting body to body. Ye gods, what a struggle. Look how their knives flash in the sunlight. Ah, Flavius has drawn back. And Marcus rushes towards him. His knife is raised. He will run him through. But no, Flavius turns. It is all over. Marcus is stricken to the ground and his blood is staining the sand of the arena.
See, the attendants are hurrying the stricken man through the gates.
Ah, and here's the master of ceremonies back again. He is holding up his hand for silence.
Friend, if there be any surgeon amongst your numbers today, will he step forth? Marcus the great gladiator has been sorely wounded, and we fear for his life.
Yes, I will come.
And who are you?
Galen of Pergamon. Come, my son, we will go down. You are the master of ceremonies?
Yes, Galen, and if you will follow me, I will take you to Marcus.
It is strange you have no appointed surgeon in attendance.
We will have from today, Galen. Here we are. Here is the room. There is Marcus lying on the mat.
Wounded in the abdomen. Strip off his breastplate and quickly, man. Gently. Now, that's better. Now I can examine him more closely. A ghastly wound. The sword is broken off at the hilt, leaving the blade in his abdomen.
Then Marcus is doomed. No surgeon in the world can save him.
Poor Marcus. It is sad to see him die like this.
Who said he is going to die?
Nothing but a miracle of surgery could save him.
I am going to perform that miracle, but I shall need my instruments. Take my chariot, Nison, and drive like fury to my house. His life's blood is oozing from him. Every moment counts. Hurry, I implore you.
This will be but a few moments.
The odds are against you, Galen.
No, the odds are with me. Marcus is superbly healthy. His blood is pure. But if 'twas you, good master of ceremonies, you would die because your blood is poisoned with wine. Wisdom and art, strength and wealth are of no avail if health be lacking.
Galen, by a miraculous feat of surgery, saved the life of Marcus and was appointed gladiatorial surgeon. Later, he went to Rome, and we now find him in attendance upon Eudemus, an elderly philosopher who moved in the highest circles.
It's a beautiful morning, Eudemus. The sun is shining, and I think it's high time you had some of it.
You mean I can rise from this cursed bed at last, Galen?
Why not? Your fever has left you, and you're well and strong again. Come on, learned one. I will assist you from the couch. There. Now.
Oh, my friend, I owe you my life. You have cured me when the best physician in Rome gave me up for dead.
Then he is no longer the best physician. I am.
By the nine gods you are. And I shall shout your praises from the forum. I shall shout and shout until the emperor himself hears me and calls you to his court.
Eudemus! Eudemus! What is this I hear?
Come in, Boethius, come in. And see with your own eyes the man who was given up for dead.
But this is astounding, Eudemus. The last time I visited you, I saw a stricken man lying on his deathbed. And now, what do I see? That same man completely recovered. Who worked this miracle?
There stands the man, Galen of Pergamum.
Then surely, Galen, your healing powers have been acquired from the gods.
Nay, good Boethius. They have been acquired through long years of study and experience on man, woman, and child.
Woman, do you also cure the miseries of women?
Yes, Boethius.
Then I have need of you in my household. My good wife is stricken of a malady and needs a physician.
You couldn't do better than ask Galen to attend her, Boethius. For he has cured me, Eudemus, the philosopher. And as surely will he cure the wife of Boethius, the consul.
If Galen is successful, I will appoint him physician to my household.
And that is but a stepping stone to imperial circles, eh, friend Boethius?
Even imperial circles have need of a good physician, Eudemus. We shall see. We shall see.
The wife of Boethius, the Roman consul, was successfully operated upon by Galen. And in gratitude, she brought his name under notice of the empress. It so happened that the Roman emperor, Septimus Severus, was stricken by a mysterious malady which caused him great agony. The court physician unsuccessfully treated him, and at last, in desperation, the empress sent for Galen. She is standing at her stricken husband's bedside, awaiting the arrival of the young physician.
And Septimus, 'tis said about this young Galen that he performs miracles with the knife, and not only is he a surgeon, but a physician as well. All Rome is flocking to the lectures he gives in the hall erected by Boethius in gratitude for his wife's recovery. All Rome is talking about his skill, and that is why I have sent for him.
Have I not enough physicians around me without sending for more?
Bah! They are as like to kill you as cure you. I do not even trust them. Your physician-in-chief gave me a draught last week. It made me violently ill instead of easing me. I believe he tried to poison me.
Oh, I am taken with the pains of death again.
I wish Galen would hurry.
Oh, this pain, this bitter pain, it is the agony of hell.
Dear lady, the young Galen is without.
Galen at last. Bid him enter.
It shall be done, imperial lady.
Galen is approaching now, my husband. Soon all will be well.
Imperial lady, I am at your command.
I have sent for you, Galen, to attend the emperor. His agony has lasted all day.
What is this draught on the table?
The court physician prescribed it for the emperor. It is one of three, and it's time my husband swallowed it. I will give it to him.
Wait, imperial lady. Let me taste that draught first. Ah, as I thought, this is poison. It contains antimony. Now, this is what is causing the emperor's agony.
But the court physician...
is a potential murderer, lady.
Oh, that man could be so treacherous.
I have but come from a similar case of treachery and have my medicines with me. See, I will give our great emperor a draught of this.
What is it?
Theriac, universal antidote which I have discovered. Now, come, sire. Try and drink this draught. It will banish your agony like magic. There, he has drained the goblet. Soon he will sleep. When he awakens, he will find his misery has left him.
Already his body is relaxing. His face is calmer, and the blood is coming back to his lips. See, his eyes are closed. He sleeps. Oh, Galen, may the gods reward you with everlasting life, that you may continue to work your miracles of healing.
Nay, imperial lady, I do not seek to become immortal.
To live forever would be a tragedy which I would not care to have overtake me.
Perhaps you are right, Galen. But it is a greater tragedy that when you die, your divine powers of healing will die with you.
Not so, Imperial Lady. They will not die. Others will follow in the path that I have trod. Others who will be far greater than I. And it is to these others that I will bequeath my writings, my humble observations upon the miseries that the human frame is prone to. And they will improve and keep on improving upon my crude attempts until at last they have conquered the demons that ravish mankind with plague, pestilence, and disease.